Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Anastasia, and sitting opposite me today is a stunning woman. She is a meteorologist, TV presenter, journalist, and today she's here for her new book, Happy and Whole. It's Magdalena Rose. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited.
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Magdalena.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Perfect. Perfect.
Now, do you want to tell us about your new book, Happy and Whole?
Yeah, look, I'm really excited to share this book with everyone. Basically, it's a collection of recipes and also sort of lifestyle ideas. It's my thoughts on things like motherhood, wellness, making things, and it's all the things that I'm passionate about in the one book, and inspired by the weather. You know, the weather is such a huge part of my life, and it's something that really sort of drives a lot of the things that I do, as I think it does with most of us. Yeah. And so I've divided the chapters by the weather. So there's sunny, humid, cloudy, rain. And it's the kinds of recipes and things that you'd want to do in that type of weather. So when you think, you know, it's a sunny day, you think, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to have a picnic or eat a salad? They're the types of recipes and ideas you'll find in that chapter. When it's cloudy, you know, you might kind of want soups and stews and pastas. It's the comforting food. And even things like, you know, you might be inspired to sort of sit at home and make something. Like you might want to, you know, dry your own teas and make some teas to give to friends. So it's a lot of lifestyle ideas and stuff like that as well.
Do you have, so if I was to say to you, I want a recipe for a Sunday morning, you know, the sun's out, it's shining, it's summer. I have no plans for that Sunday. I want to cook like a decadent breakfast. Do you have the perfect recipe for me?
I actually do. And I would suggest, because I've actually included a whole chapter around that idea called Sunrise. Yep. Sunrise is a collection of breakfast recipes for pretty much any type of mood you might be in. Now, I've got a few favorites in there, like the carrot cake porridge, and the miso and maple oats, so bloody delicious. And that's the kind of thing that, like, if it was a sunny morning, that's the thing that I would want. Yep. But there's everything, you know. I've got the Mexican omelette, which is my favorite. Yep. There's bird's nest, which is a little bit kind of healthier. So in that I've included sprouts and kale and avocado, and you put a poached egg on top. So, I mean, there's so many ideas for that. In fact, I'm just trying to think, maybe the spelt waffles are a good one for that.
That's what I keep, when I flick through a book, that's what I keep going back to. It's the waffles.
The waffles are really, really delicious. Yeah. And I actually tested those a few times because I really wanted to make them a little bit more nourishing. And so I've done them with spelt flour. And spelt can be a little bit tricky because it can taste a little bit cardboardy if you don't kind of get the proportions right. But these are really good because they can be savory and they can be sweet. They're not kind of, they're kind of that, what would you call it? It's like a, they're neutral.
Right.
So, I mean, the recipe that I've included is a little bit more of a sweet one, but you could totally go savory with those as well. All the pancakes, actually.
Really
nice. I love the pancakes.
We could talk all day. Hey?
I know.
Just breakfast recipes.
Yeah.
I think when I first received this book, why I fell in love with it is because it's more than a cookbook. Mm. It's more than a lifestyle book. It's unique also because it's very much, it's personal to you because you are a meteorologist, you love the weather, you're influenced by the weather, and all the chapters are, you know, sunny, cozy, cloudy. So I think this is going to resonate with mums.
I hope so, you know. I really feel like this book is me.
Yeah.
You know, I've put my heart and soul into this book. And and I was writing it at a time when I feel like I've never been more inspired or creative and even vulnerable and open. You know, Archie was only 12 weeks. And so the book is a collection of, as I said, my favorite recipes and the things that I'm passionate about, which are things like wellness and food for babies and making things. You know, these are things that I really genuinely love. And so I've totally shared my heart and soul in this book, and it really does mean a lot to me. And motherhood is a big part of it. It wasn't, I think that, you know, when we first started talking about writing the book, that this is myself and the publisher, I hadn't had Archie yet. And then when I had the baby and I started writing the book, I sort of said to them, you know, this motherhood caper, it's such a big part of my life. And I've learned so much, you know, since having the baby and living in a place like Byron Bay. I really want to share this with other mums because it's stuff that I would want to know. you know, and it doesn't come from a place of, you know, telling anybody what to do, because I think there's a million different ways of doing it. But I just know that I love learning from other people, and I love getting little bits of tips and information. And so I've kind of shared all of the things that I've learned so far in the book, and I hope that, you know, it can help other mums as well.
So your partner, Darren, we allowed to share who he is?
Yes.
So he's, well, actually, you tell us a bit about him.
Darren features a fair bit in the book in terms of the photos, and I write a lot about him because he's such a big, you know, he's a big part of my life. So Daz is a chef. He has a few restaurants called the Three Blue Ducks. We've got one of those in Byron Bay, and he's just about to open another one in North Bondi, his own place. So I've learned a lot from Daz. You know, I think it's having a chef as a partner, it's kind of lucky, really, because when I was in the kitchen, you know, testing stuff, I can always ask him about a few little bits of techniques, and I'm always watching him cook, so I've really learned a lot from him, and he's a really good gauge, because I tested every recipe with Darren in terms of taste. And the funny thing is that we have quite different approaches. So my approach is definitely much more towards whole foods. I have a focus on family cooking, which means it has to be easy and accessible. He's the pro. Like, I don't know how to make foams and, you know, dice things in the way he does and stuff. I don't have time for that. It's like, he's the pro, he can do that. I'm a home cook. I'm a mum, I don't have time. So all of my recipes, you know, take that in mind. But also, the whole foods approach is really important to me in terms of nourishing myself as a tired, you know, busy woman, and nourishing the baby too, and him. So that's a real focus for me. But I would test them against us to make sure that they actually taste good, because, you know, for him, that's the most important thing. And so it was really good to have that, because I guess for anybody making the recipes, there's a little bit of a guarantee that they're not just good for you, but they taste nice as well. And Darren was the guinea pig.
Did you ever present him something and it was absolutely horrible, and he kind of just spat it out and, you know, take it away?
No, I'm just trying to think. He didn't spit anything out, but I know that when I was testing the spelt waffles and also the spelt, the baklava spelt scrolls, that took a lot of time to get right. And there were a few batches where Daz was like, this isn't really, this could be a little bit better. And so it kind of pushed me to refine the recipe to make sure that it was really yummy at the same time. But luckily, he hasn't spat anything out yet.
What was his favourite?
And the baby hasn't either, thank God. Sorry, his favourite. There's something in there, it's called the farm salad. And it was inspired by the beautiful produce. I'm just trying to think which chapter, I think it's either in sunny or humid. I probably in sunny, because it's the kind of thing I'd want to eat on a sunny day. But he really loves that, because what I've done is, I went to the farmer's market one day and I came home with all this incredible produce, you know, carrots that are just all different shapes and sizes, and different colored tomatoes and cucumbers. And I thought, I really don't want to do anything to this, because it's just so beautiful on its own. And so that's what, and also, you know, when you go to the farmer's market, when you're buying carrots, they still have the tops and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, once you cut the tops off, I don't want to waste it. What do I do with this? But they're really, really bitter. If you just, like, you couldn't just eat carrot tops on their own. They're hideous. And so I thought, to make them taste good, I'll turn them into a salsa verde. And so in the end, I created this sort of plate where I put some ricotta on it. And then I got all the beautiful produce, fresh as it is, because you don't need to do anything to it, on top. And then I made a salsa verde from all the tops and greens, poured it on top, and Daz was like, this is amazing. He's like, can I steal this recipe? And I'm like, no, you can't. But he's actually making a version of it for his new restaurant, because he really, really liked it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how, because my father has his own garden, so he grows, you know, tomatoes and strawberries and carrots and whatever. And it's incredible how when produce is fresh and from the garden, it really doesn't need that much dressing and whatever to make it taste amazing.
And it's the hero, you know, it really is. And there's something about it that, you know, I think it genuinely does taste better, but sometimes it's just the idea of it, I think. You know, when I've got a few suggestions in the book about growing your own, you know, edible flowers and growing your own herbs and composting and things like that, because when you really get amongst it, you know, when you're getting amongst your own garden, even little things, if you're in an apartment and you just have a few pots of things, there's something about it that brings you joy.
It does.
Just making something and adding your own fresh herbs makes you feel better. And I think the whole book about happy and whole, it's about incorporating these little things in your life that just give you that bit of happiness in the day. You know, we're all busy. We're all hectic. And some days we have a bad day. Like, I think that's normal. So it's certainly not about being happy all the time. And when you read the introduction, I kind of go a little bit more into that. But it's about having moments of happiness in your day. And I think that, you know, maybe it comes from growing your own things or being in nature or just cooking one meal a day is enough to give you that sense of being nourished. And that's kind of what I'm trying to share with people in the book.
In this book, you also, you know, you touched on stress and how kind of detrimental it is for our health.
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, what do you do to de-stress, to unwind?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's massive. I think in our modern lives, with work stresses or with even being a mum, you know, like you get to the end of the day and it's like, oh God. Yeah. And even me living in Byron Bay, like, trust me, I'm not just walking around in a caftan all day, like just going, I have my stresses too. And so it's more that I think you can't necessarily eliminate, but you can cope better.
Yeah.
And so it's just about finding, again, little things that sort of help you cope better. And so I've written a chapter on wellness to share some of the ways that I unwind and make myself feel better. And some of those include a beach walk every day. Yeah. I don't necessarily have time for exercise, but a 20-minute walk every day is my way of kind of unwinding. Putting the phone down. I know that sounds really obvious, but I have to force myself to do it because, we live through Instagram and social media. And even the other day when I was driving from the airport to come here, I was looking at the bus and everyone was glued to their phone. And there's a really beautiful connection that we get from social media, for sure. Mm. It's like we've got our own little tribe almost of people that we've never met, but we connect with recipes and ideas and inspiration. But it can also be all-consuming and take us away from our own life and even make us feel a bit bad about ourselves because we look at filtered versions of people's lives that can make us feel inadequate in our own. Put it away, you know, put it away and enjoy the moment in your own life, whatever you're eating or whoever you're engaging with. I think it's worth kind of getting away from technology for a little bit. And the other things that have really helped me are things like meditation. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture has been incredibly helpful to me. So if people read about that, especially when it comes to fertility and things like that, mm-hmm. acupuncture was really helpful to me when I was in having Archie.
Yeah.
So I've tried to share that because I know that a lot of the girls in my life that I've shared that with, it's helped them too.
Okay. Acupuncture. So you've also started making your own skincare products.
Yes.
And you've said that that's actually helped your skin.
Yeah.
What kind of inspired that?
Yeah, so when I was working in telly, I was getting up at 3:30 in the morning at the time, and it was a really, really busy schedule and really heavy TV makeup, you know, for hours on end. And I found that my skin just was not coping. I had really bad rashes. Mm. And Daz, being Daz, just said, stop putting shit on your face. I'm like, oh, really? But there's a part of that I can't avoid. Like, it is my job, you know, to put the TV face on. But then he said, well, what about the stuff that you're using at home? And it never occurred to me that there was, you know, a lot of stuff in the products that I was using that wasn't ideal. So I started to do some more research. And I found that there is a way of looking after your skin that is a little bit more natural. And I started to make my own products. And it had literally, I noticed a difference in a day. My skin improved, and I've been using natural products ever since. So again, I've shared some of those recipes for some of my homemade masks and, you know, hydrating masks and just little ways of sort of looking after your skin that are more nourishing than, you know, some of the stuff that's out there. It can be a bit overwhelming. Like, if you go onto Google and start, like, researching all that stuff, like, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So I think, like, maybe, yeah. Personally, anyway, I don't want to go too far, but some of the recipes that I've shared there, they've really worked for me, and I hope that they can help other people too.
They will, because, you know, unlike Google, I think you've listed recipes on 2 pages.
Yes.
So it's not, you know, 50 pages. Of
yeah, it's like the best
skin.
Of hits.
Exactly.
There were a lot of duds, believe me. Like, I tried a few and I'm like, that doesn't work. So I've just kind of listed the ones that have definitely worked for me and hopefully it saves somebody else the trouble.
Yeah. I've tried so many when I was younger, my early 20s in particular, because I had terrible skin. So I've tried everything from yogurt to fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, a book like this would have been so helpful when I in my early 20s.
Yeah.
So you actually also have your own podcast called The Pass.
Yes.
Where you interview some of the big names in the food industry. How's that been?
Oh, it's been really amazing. So that started because so my friends Janine Barbosa and Sam Kennedy, we all love food. And we're always sort of wondering, you know, where are the best places to eat? Where's the best coffee? Where do we go for breakfast? And we thought, who better to ask than the chefs and top food personalities themselves? Like, where does Matt Moran get his breakfast from? Or where does Kylie Kwong go for Chinese? Or where does, you know, Colin Fastenage, you know, from MKR go on his day off? Because these guys always know about the hidden gems. And so that's kind of where the idea started. And then as we started interviewing them, we realized these people have such amazing stories to tell beyond anything we've seen in the media, you know, and it completely changes the way you appreciate their food. So now when I go to, say, Josh Nyland's restaurant, St. Peter in Paddington, it's all seafood. I appreciate that seafood so much more knowing where he's come from and how much respect goes into that piece of fish, you know, and the whole journey he goes through with sourcing it from the fish market and what have you. So it's an insider's guide to food, but we also find out what makes them tick through the food they eat. And I've edited it down to about 20, 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to it on the way in the car, exactly. On your way to work or at the gym or something like that. I release it once a week and I've been surprised. Like it started as a passion project, but now that so many people are listening, I feel like I have to continue.
You have to continue.
I'm just going to keep going. But I love it because it doesn't feel like a job. I'm meeting up with, you know, like Sarah Wilson, for example.
Yep.
What an absolute pleasure, you know. I get to catch up with Sarah Wilson for a couple of hours, eat at her favourite place, and learn about her and her and, you know, and her amazing ideas.
Yep.
And I get to do that once a week with all these different chefs. So I don't think I'll be stopping anytime soon.
Yeah. See, why couldn't we do that today? Why couldn't I come to your place in Byron and you cook me something?
Well, we still can. Have a chat to the bosses and see if you can come up to Byron. I would love to cook for you. I would love nothing more. That's the thing. I really love having people over, and it doesn't stress me out because I think that, you know, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone minds, even if you make a mistake. Like, believe me, it's my dishes don't always work out, you know, and it's not about it being perfect or perfectly cooked. And I think it's just the joy of sharing a meal with someone. And I genuinely don't think if people mind if it's a bit burnt, if it's a little bit undercooked, if it's a bit wonky. It's just nice to be in someone's house, having a glass of wine and having a meal. And I think taking that approach towards entertaining makes it just so much nicer, you know. So I'm always like, everybody, come over. Let's, you know, have a cup of tea and a piece of cake on the deck. Yes. And you're always welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
Oh, look, I've had such an amazing experience writing this book that I am inspired maybe to follow it up with something that has more of a focus on children and babies. I know a lot of my friends often struggle with inspiration on what to feed their kids and that kind of thing. And I've found actually that by sharing some of the things that I feed Archie on Instagram, I've had heaps of feedback from other mums saying, oh, that's such a cool idea for Brekkie. And I mean, he's a really good eater, but I have been really conscious about what I give him. And actually, I've written a chapter on food for babies talking about that because I think it's really important to give them everything as soon as you can. Like, I don't believe in kind of, you know, give them pumpkin for 6 weeks and give them apples for 6 weeks. I mean, there are certain foods that are worth avoiding until their tummies are ready.
Yeah.
But give them all different types of flavors, because it teaches them about that. And so now Archie eats everything, like curry and even things that gross me out, like liver. Like, which I just...
Oh, love liver.
Oh, good on you. No wonder you look so
liver
healthy.
Liver and hearts.
Yeah, so Archie loves all that. And it's such a great source of iron. And it's sort of like, I don't want to influence him with my own, you know, with my own ideas. Yeah. So I sort of try and just give him everything and he loves it. So I wouldn't mind following up with a book that's sort of a little bit more based around nourishing foods for children and babies. And I'll be continuing the Pass podcast with a season 2. And I think I might get back into TV a little bit. You know, I had a bit of a break having the baby, but TV is a great love of mine, as is the weather. So you never know, I might kind of do something along those lines. And of course, we need to find the time to get married. because we got engaged and the baby came, so that went on the back burner. So I need to plan our wedding. We're getting married this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you, finally. So that's going to take a lot of planning. And I don't know, maybe another baby. I've really enjoyed motherhood, and I feel like in a few months, I think I'll be ready to take on baby number three. And I say baby number three because baby number one, no, no baby number one was Archie. Baby number two was his book. And then baby number three will be an actual baby. Hopefully.
Yeah, so I thought it was different. I thought it was your actual baby was baby number one.
It does
one,
feel like I've got two kids. Two. It really does. Yeah. I think you make the correct assumption there.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Such
today.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. And if you are interested in Magdalena's new book, Happy and Whole, pop on over to booktopia.com.au.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you should try Archie. I'm giving him brains. You tried brains?
No, I haven't given him that, but that is one of the most amazing foods you can give them. In fact, like through the research I've done, it's liver and brains and egg yolk that are the best first foods for kids. So I should do that.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Boil it with a bit of like lemon and salt.
Really?
Yeah.
How long do you boil it for?
Oh God, I can't remember.
I'll have a look.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good suggestion. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like I've heard so much about that from all the kind of naturopaths and like health people, everyone has said brains.
Yeah. Mm. And it gets all gooey when you boil it.
Oh my God, stop it. It's so gross.
It's so gross. And when you look at it, you look like you're looking at it. Looks like you're looking at crap.
It's so good for them. It's so good for them. Yeah. Cool. I know.
I've had liver. Goat liver.
It's funny because when I interviewed Colin Fastenage, I asked him, what's the one thing you can't eat? And he said brains. He said, for some reason, like, I can eat everything else, but it stops at brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it was okay, but it just, the texture was funny.
It's not what
we
used
to say. It was a novelty, like, we were.
Yeah.
It's so good, though, it is in health-wise.
Yeah, I see it was.
It's always the dodgy bits that are the best for you, right? Isn't it? It's like the off-cuts and it's all the offal and everything that's always so good for you.
What I hate the most is the chicken feet. That's what grosses me out, because you can see the nails on it still.
But chicken feet in broth, and it's all the weird stuff, and pig trotter, because I've got a pig trotter soup in there, which my acupuncturist said you need to do something with pig trotter because it's that bloody good for you. So Daz and I created this recipe around pig trotters. And if bone marrow doesn't gross you out, bone marrow is amazing.
What kind of form does it come in?
So if you go to the butcher, if you make anything from this book, please just make that one because it is unbelievably delicious. Like I can't even get over how good it is. And not because of anything I'm doing. It just is, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I'm not making it amazing. So Daz and I went to all these restaurants in Paris and stuff back in the day, and bone marrow was always on the menu. And it was like this kind of delicacy, you know, like whenever there's bone marrow, everyone's like, oh my God, the bone marrow. But I realized it's actually like super cheap and like the easiest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's this delicacy, because you can easily, if you ever have a dinner party, make bloody bone marrow, because you can't stuff it up.
Yeah.
So you go to the butcher, you just say, can I have bone marrow? And it literally comes in, it's like, you know, if a bone is like that, they slice it in half.
And scoop out the insides.
And so the inside is, no, it's just in there. Uh-huh. And so you get a tray, you line them all up.
Yeah.
I make this kind of like olive oil, garlic, parsley, lemon, salt, pepper, so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Mash it all up. Just brush it on over the top.
Yeah.
Chuck it in the oven for 20 minutes. And then it comes out like this oozy, beautiful liquid gold. And then you have sourdough. You scoop it out like butter. It just looks like beautiful golden butter. And you scoop it onto a piece of bread. It is so good and it's so cheap. Like when you buy it, it costs like a few dollars. And then you shove it in the oven and it's like the healthiest, most easy meal you'll have on a nice cloudy day.
When I first saw it in the book, I thought it was garlic bread.
Because it's like, it looks, it tastes like garlic bread.
It looks like
and it's so good for your skin.
Okay.
And gut, like bone marrow. It's glow food. Seriously, like you'll be glowing.
Okay.
Mm.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying it.
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh.
It's like that. It's like my favourite thing.
Yeah.
And so Daz has now put that on the menu at his restaurant.
That's awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.